KLIF News Time is 7:17. Is the Electoral College outdated?
Go ahead. I was just saying, you hear a lot of people saying, well, it's a stupid system. We need to get rid of that. We should go, you know, one person per vote and just add up the popular vote. There are some very good reasons for the Electoral College being in existence.
But does it make sense in 2016?
I don't see what difference it would make if it was 2016 or 1616. Let's talk with Tara Ross. She's an author and an expert on this and other related issues. Good morning, Tara.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. You've written a book called We Elect a President, The Story of Our Electoral College. Now, is this a book for kids?
It is a book for kids. I did an adult book several years ago, but I figured, you know what, we really need something even more simple for parents and kids to use together. And my daughter, who's in fourth grade, actually contributed to the book. So,
but some adults probably need this too, because it'll break it down for them.
I think more adults are using it than kids, just to be honest. But we hope we created an easy presentation that is really helpful. And so it was fun to do it together.
So what are your thoughts on the Electoral College? Do you think it's still relevant today, or it's outdated?
You know, this is a really interesting year to talk about it, and I'm starting every conversation by offering a friendly reminder to everybody that the primaries and the Electoral College are two completely different animals. And so I think a lot of the problems that have arisen this year have actually stemmed from the primaries. And ironically, the primaries are exhibit A in why we never want to get rid of the Electoral College. The primaries operated a lot like a national popular vote would. And by that, I mean, look, we had 17 candidates. We had a fractured populace. People were angry. They were divided. There was nothing to force people to come together and work, you know, whoever you were supporting, whichever candidate, you know, you didn't ever work with any other candidate or try to focus on similarities among Republican voters to try to figure out how you can get along. Now, the Electoral College, of course, does the complete opposite. It forces you to build coalitions. It forces you to work with people across state lines to figure out, okay, what do I have in common with this person in Indiana, you know, or this person in this other industry or with this other special interest group? Because the Electoral College rewards the person who builds the very best coalitions. So I think the problem we have this year is actually because the incentive process in the primaries and the Electoral College are so at odds with each other. And so the primaries, unfortunately, left everybody so fractured. We're having trouble regrouping this year.
Yeah.
But we're feeling the pain of the Electoral College trying to make us do that, you know, something that the primaries never made us do.
I know that there are other countries where they do go with popular vote, and they have such a wide variety of political parties. You get Socialist Party and the Socialist Ritz Cracker Party, and I just was just reading yesterday that there's a Pirate Party, which is actually gained a lot of votes and a lot of support in Iceland, but all these parties typically have one issue and one issue only. Everybody gets a percentage of the vote and they get into parliament and nothing can get done.
Right.
Is that a big part of what you're saying?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you look at an election like in France where it's fractured all over the place, communist, socialist, the incumbent, whatever's going on, and they end up with a runoff. And you get into the runoff by getting, say, 20% of the vote. And then if you're a voter in France and you have a choice between the incumbent who got 20% and some communist who got 17%, do you feel like you have a real choice in that election? And so then the incumbent ends up winning in a landslide and they never get anything done because they don't have real options. The Electoral College, I mean, the two-party system is a pain sometimes. I'll go there with people. But it's better than the alternative. The Electoral College, it squelches extremist third parties, which is a good thing in our system. We don't want to end up in runoffs with, you know, you got a communist and some establishment person to choose from, right? But it does actually, you can, third parties that are large and reasonable, like Ross Perot, can have more of an impact, I think, than what I've heard people say just, you know, on the media this year. The Electoral College rewards coalition building. So whoever is building the best coalition, that's the person that the Electoral College wants to reward at the end of the day. And if that happens to be a third party, that the Electoral College will reward that. Now, sometimes, as in the case of Ross Perot, it's it's just, you know, Ross Perot got 18.9% of the vote. He didn't get any electors that year, but he forced the parties to pay attention to the fiscal concerns of his voters. I would argue that was a very successful campaign. Then 2 years later in the congressional races, the Republicans had their Contract with America and Democrats were probably offering tax increases or something, but everybody was wanting to address those fiscal concerns. The 18.9% of voters got people's attention. So that was because it was a large, reasonable third party. Now contrast that with like George Wallace, that more extremist third party, who had basically no impact on the process, even though he did win a few electoral votes.
We're talking
so the electoral college.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just say it strikes a nice balance. It strikes a better balance than I've heard this year from commentators.
We're talking with Tara Ross, author and an expert on the Electoral College. Her book is We Elect a President, The Story of Our Electoral College. What do you make of Evan McMullen? He's a third party candidate in Utah who's actually leading in the polls now there.
Well, the interesting thing about that is if things played out right, he would force a House contingent election. Now, and what that means is that nobody would get 270 votes, and therefore it would go to the House of Representatives. And if that happened, the House would get to choose from the top three vote-getters, who would be McMullen, Clinton, and Trump, presumably. So, you know, it's an interesting situation. Nobody has won electoral votes, a third party, since 1968, so he would be the first one to do that. I think it's an interesting demonstration of the power that our Electoral College gives small states just to kind of yank everybody back and say, hey, you forgot about us over here. Don't forget us. You know, and I think it also shows something I've been saying for years, which is you cannot take a safe state for granted. People, that's one thing you hear against the Electoral College sometimes. You cannot take safe states for granted. They will vote differently if you ignore them for too long. And that's also a great thing about our Electoral College system. Everybody has a voice that matters.
Tara, we're running really short of time, so I kind of need a quick answer on this, but sure. I really, really need an answer to this because there are a lot of people who I came from California and you know, I'm conservative. So but a lot of people that I know said, what's the point in voting? This state is so liberal. It's so blue that we'll never get any electors out of California in a winner state, winner takes all. And a lot of people feel the same way about Texas in the other direction.
Well, Texas is only leaning Republican right now. It's right.
But I mean, there are people who feel that their vote never counts because of the winner-take-all electoral system. What do you say to them?
I would say one is don't let it be a self-fulfilling prophecy. I wonder how often that happens. And two, I would point to Utah and say you never know what will happen, and you just got to go out and vote and work for the causes you believe in.
All right, Tara Ross. The book is called We Elect a President, The Story of Our Electoral College.
I think everybody with kids ought to get that and read it together as a family. That'd be good.
Because I don't think everyone really knows how it all works.
I think almost nobody does, really.